This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And someone that I haven't actually seen in Joy for a very long time.
Probably. I have been here recently.
I know, but sir. I mean, I haven't seen you.
You haven't been looking hard enough.
Last time I saw you was
hard-bodied young thing.
Oh, yeah. Get her some glasses.
Actually, I am legally blind, but I can affirm that Macca is just as wantable as you want him to be if you've never seen him.
Fantastic.
My name is Helen Razor, and apparently I used to work here. I left in a huff, and apparently, apparently Macca wants to subtly revisit that on air. So I've already told you I left in a huff. It was actually to do with transphobia, if you must know, which I'm sure has now been cleansed from the station, and we've covered that. So let's go on.
I'd like to think so, and I actually didn't think it was a huff. I just thought it was a disagreement over principle.
AKA a huff.
That is a huff, isn't it? That is a huff.
Things have changed a great deal, not just at Joy, but
in the world.
LGBTIQWERT, whatever it is now, community. And, you know, this was 2001, I think, that we're talking about, and things have changed, I think, for the better. And at least, you know, you'll get smacked upside your head if you're a bigot within the community now.
You will. You won't just get slapped. You'll get trolled.
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, you know, let's face it. There's still power structures within any community. Just, you know,
there are.
Just because we have, you know, non-normative urges doesn't make us better people, does it? So
I can't argue with you, because you know what? You're right.
It's hardly a radical thing to say, is
no.
it?
No.
You know, I mean, you know, I've always loathed that. I am homosensual, ergo, I am morally pure. You know, I mean, seriously. How does that work? Really, how does that work?
I want to know about your normal, non-normative urges.
You want to know about my first, I'd like to point out that I'm currently in a room with... I was just going to do this whole kind of identity politics thing, but I won't.
Go for it.
With three male-identifying persons. Blah, 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 blah. So first you want to know about my work history, then you want to know about my personal urges.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you mean?
Well,
I have at times enjoyed sexual acts consensually with other persons.
Wow.
Mm.
I think the three of us actually have too.
Wow.
I just think there's a one degree of separation. I wonder if there's been any, if we've shared any.
We haven't on air, have we?
No.
No.
Who says this is not a radical radio station?
That's right.
No, so what do you just stop with all this subtlety. Just ask me what you want to ask me.
I want to ask, why do you love radio so much? Well, what is it about radio?
I haven't worked in radio for years.
No, but you love radio. You do, surely. You don't?
No, not particularly. I mean, I love talking.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the best place to talk.
No, I don't love radio. I mean, well, I have a face for radio, but, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm very arrogant, overly unjustifiably confident person. Since I was very young, I always felt that I had a great deal that was very important to say. Again, unjustifiably. So those sorts of people are
perfect for radio.
To media. And I don't do radio. I write now and occasionally...
I know, yes.
And occasionally speak in public. And I will be doing so at...
I don't know. Wheeler Centre. Where?
You don't have the information in front of you?
I don't.
Okay. The reason that I'm here this morning purportedly is to talk about the Festival of Questions, which is presented by the Wheeler Centre, will occur on October the 15th, which is a Sunday. The tickets are nearly sold out, but I'm doing a panel called, and I'm very proud to do so, with the marvellous Amy Maguire, I think one of the best, if not the best, reporter on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander affairs in the country. She's amazing. Julian Burnside will also join us. That's on October the 15th as part of the Wheeler Centre, and we're all going to posit what we think are the questions for the nation. That is October the 15th.
Where at? I know the Wheeler Centre, but
I think it's at the Town Hall. I don't know either. Yeah. I was assured you would have this information.
No, I did have it, but you see, I much prefer the person who's in the studio to tell us about it.
No, see, that sounds crass. That
sounds lazy, doesn't it?
That sounds like I'm here to... That is, in fact, you ask me, why do I love radio? Because I get to say the dates and the names when I'm the broadcaster. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So October the 15th, we've covered that.
It's
always
good.
Go to the Wheeler Centre website. There's always something fascinating there to see. You know, it's a very important part of the intellectual life of our city.
So the Festival of Questions, we had Lawrence Mooney on 2 weeks ago, who was channeling Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah, I know Lawrence.
And I've got to tell you, the first few minutes we had him on, the messages from our listeners, they thought it...
He was fantastic.
He was. It was very funny. The Festival of Questions is a serious... It's serious because... You actually want people to be challenged, and some of the people that are taking part in this. But is there for you, Helen? Is there a particular group of questions that you think needs to be asked?
I don't know how much you'll embrace and love this question yourselves, but my emphasis in recent years has been riding on the distribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what will be my concern.
Yeah.
I know we can leave it to Amy to talk about the matter of... reconciliation is such a ridiculous word. Treaty is a better aim. And there's, you know, a few people on the panel. But, you guys know, right? Like, you have to, when you work within media, unfortunately... You have to specialise in order to build up knowledge. So you have to say, well, this is my interest and this is the area that I will cover. And, you know, hopefully you can be confident there are others. I mean, you know, the matters of race and climate change are terribly important, of course. But, you know, I know that I have comrades who are covering that. So my thing is economic management.
See, I
know, fascinating, right?
No, no.
Turn into a nerd.
It's fascinating to me, I mean, because I think that those economic questions actually are going to play a hugely important role in how much influence we allow big business to have in the debate reconciliation and about a treaty, because I would put the view that so much of big business doesn't want some of those questions resolved because it doesn't suit their purposes for their business.
Well, for me, and let's bring it back to the urgent present and the interests of this radio program and the interests of the radio station particularly. Now, Joy has unambiguously aligned itself with the Yes case.
Yep.
For me, it's not, you know, whether or not a business is good or a business is bad. And say, you know, we have companies and organisations saying, you know, yes, I'm aligned with the yes vote. And, of course, you know, I voted yes, we'll all vote yes, et cetera, et cetera. But do we want... And I think that the LGBTQIA community has been extraordinarily uncritical over the last 30 years, probably in part because it was sort of, you know, dominated by, you know, blokes.
Yeah.
who were, you know, quite often well-to-do. This is not to say, by the way, that all people who identify as queer or, you know, whatever the big sandwich is called now are well-to-do, but the people within the community who have the most power are the most well-to-do. It's people with enough leisure time, you know, it's people used to having power that have power within those communities. So what I've seen as I've attained, you know, like these 90 years on the planet, I'm terribly, terribly old, is some very interesting changes. Now, say, for example, you know, Mardi Gras used to be a, you know, Sydney resident, you know, queer central and all of that. And I saw Mardi Gras transform from, you know, something that was very grassroots, something that was naturally outrageous into something that, and this was a common critique through, particularly in the late 90s, into something that became a show for, you know, the others. And, you know, sure, and, you know, there was a lot of people into politics of acceptability, and that was fine. But the other thing that we saw was the LGBTIQA community embracing big business, and in particular banks. Now, you know, I remember taking my money out from one of the big four on Oxford Street and basically getting a congratulation message for being queer on the screen.
Yes.
A large soft drink company with its famous billboard in King's Cross regularly celebrates it. And the LGBTIQA community, for the most part, says, isn't that marvellous? Isn't that great that big business is finally celebrating us? Well, for me, the point is big business should not be the arbiters of our national or our international morality.
Of course.
And to give them those things, and, you know, all very, you know, very well and good that the national airline is saying, you know, let's vote yes, because I voted yes. Voting yes is the correct thing to do in this non-binding, ridiculous waste of money TV week survey a homophobic government has inflicted on all of us, you know? But I do not care. I don't care that a large and stylish computer company has said yes, especially when that large and stylish computer company has built its wealth on the exploitative labour of servants, slaves in Chinese factories, miners in the so-called Democratic Republic of Congo. There is blood in those things, and we're saying that, you know, it's all fine if we, you know, have our so-called equality here, and it's all very well and good if the very companies that create the conditions for hatred and inequality, and they do. You're not going to get a Trump in the USA. You're not going to get him voted unless everybody is broke as. I mean, it had a lot to do with homophobia, sexism, racism, but it also had a lot to do. I mean, does nobody remember the 1930s? It's not like all Germans were rich in the Weimar Republic, if you know what I mean. There are certain conditions that produce fascist and bigoted tendencies, and those are the conditions of wealth inequality. And I see us as basically, you know, getting down and getting a great big mouthful of the nonsense. We don't even question the fact that, you know, some companies are moral and some others are not. They should not have the right to be moral, whether it is good morality or bad morality. And we have a little hissy fit if you know, some pasta company says, I'm not going to use a same-sex couple in my advertisements. I'm not going to eat that kind of pasta anymore. Oh, very well, you've just really, you know, you can boycott your way out of the excesses of capitalism. Good on you. So the LGBTIQA community, like many other so-called progressive communities, has just accepted its corporate sponsorship, and I've had enough.
Right.
So, we need to go to a break. I want you to hold that thought, Ian and Helen. We're talking about the Festival of Ideas, and Paul, you've got
a couple of questions.
Oh my God, sorry. You got some of the dates there, mate.
Yeah, so it's on the 15th of October, and there are five different sessions. What the Hell, The Handmaid's Tale, which is that great American TV program. Philosophical Fight Club with Ethics and Morals. And What is Right, What is Left, A History of Politics and Current Affairs. There's a summary, the Festival of Questions, coming up with The Nation, What's Going On in Melbourne.
There we go.
So, Helen, I was just going to ask a question. It might be a bit heavy for a Saturday morning, but you talk about income disparity and, you know, where it's going. And I was recently in the US, and one of the big stories there, and I forget the exact details, but it was something like 65% of media commentators and political commentators predicted that there would be a civil war in 20 years based on the current income changes and the way that it was all going with the hollowing out of the middle class. So you've mentioned
that. One could argue that there is already some form of civil war.
I mean, so where do you see it ending, though? Do you see it kind of getting better, or it's going to get worse?
I think anyone who you know predicts particular events in the future within the social sciences is deluded. You can't really do that. There can always be events, particularly climate events, and these are more predictable than social events because, you know, we have true science to, you know, talk about the likelihood of entire nations falling into the ocean. But to say, you know, what may or may not happen, well, it's already happening. We have extraordinary cultural divisions. We have, you know, people believing that, you know, others, and, you know, we've all been treated as others, and we're now being treated as others in the current Australian climate. And, you know, in Australia, we have an economic climate which is approaching the conditions that preceded the Depression. We have huge underemployment to the point that, you know, even the Reserve Bank of Australia is saying, oh, maybe we should count underemployment as a problem. I mean, they talk about jobs growth all the time. But, I mean, you know, the jobs growth is in sort of part-time areas a great deal of the time. There's a lot of people in Australia increasingly, although we have been protected. So, you know, you see, and I'm sure you've all experienced, you know, moments of homophobia in recent months that you've perhaps not experienced for years. And I'm not saying this is just because people are poor and nervous or anything like that, but these, you know, these conditions, that kind of bigotry, it happens for many reasons, but it recrudesces, it reappears in times of economic disparity. When people feel nervous, they have a predisposition to be an arsehole, well, then they'll become an arsehole. So all I can offer you is that unless we reorganise the means of our survival, you know, the very crude means of, have I got somewhere to live? Will my kids get a decent education? Do I have rewarding things to do? Do I have enough money to sustain my life? Like all of these basic things, you know, the big questions for everybody in every nation, right? You know, their first, you know, shelter, food, and then we see education, healthcare as, you know, like second tier, but still like really, really important priorities. Am I safe? Is my life good? So under these conditions, of course, people, you know, fed by certain of our media outlets in Australia, see such nonsense. And I mean, that former prick of a PM that we have, who is, you know, now saying, you know, vote against political correctness, vote no.
Yes.
As though political correctness is this great force, which is, you know, the thing that is responsible. I mean, people are actually believing now that political correctness, which I'd prefer just to call good manners, is, I mean, I know that political correctness can be a pain in the bum at times. You know, we all know that. You know, when somebody, when you try to have a conversation and somebody, you know, corrects your language, then you might just have a conversation that is all about correcting language.
Yeah.
And that can be very frustrating. But, you know, that's how we communicate, unfortunately, in some scenarios, many scenarios we don't. Are you really telling me that a few sort of, you know, posh students who are having an argument about whether or not the food available at their university canteen is a case of cultural appropriation or not?
Yes.
Are you really telling me that they... And, you know, it is funny and it does deserve to have the piss taken out of it, absolutely. But are you really telling me that political correctness is the greatest force in our lives? Are you really telling me that, you know, somebody asking me not to say a word that they now consider bigoted is the true thing transforming you, stopping your access to a good life? But people have become very convinced of this. And I mean, it's so curious and distressing, but it's so curious to be queer or whatever language you want to use. I'm sorry if you find the word queer inadequate to describe the panoply of wonderful perversion. But, you know, this is the first time since the 1990s that we have borne the brunt of that kind of prejudice. And
it's come as a bit of a surprise to, I mean...
Well, I think it's very interesting. Yeah,
that, not yeah. That all of a sudden, I mean, I always feared this is what would happen in this, and I'm not going to call it a debate.
It's not a debate. It's a tantrum.
It's you know, that all of a sudden, you know, the bile that some people are spilling and the lies that some people are spilling, and I have to say some of it has been on the yes side as well, but... Reality is, you
not
know,
that
I'm
much,
but no, not that much. No, I'm just acknowledging there is some, but the reality is some of the stuff that's being said, and I'm pretty offended by it because we thought we'd left this behind, but the reality is we haven't.
Consider 2001,
yes,
and not just September 2001, but the months preceding it, the falsehoods of the Children Overboard case.
Oh yes, yeah.
Now I'm. I have one very close collaborator who's Muslim and works in Islamic studies, hey Shakira, and several other Muslim comrades. And this is exactly how they felt and have felt for the last 16 years. Yeah. There was not a great deal of obvious, I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't exist, but there was not a great deal of overt prejudice toward Muslim people before 2001 and before that line of state nonsense started getting spewed first from Washington, D.C., and let's not let Bill Clinton off the hook.
Oh, no, no.
And you know, and then by our own government spokespeople. And you talk to Muslims in Australia, and they were just shocked. They were like, what? They can't possibly be talking about me. I've never met a person like that before. How anyone could think that their neighbours are going to behave in the same way as Osama bin Laden is peculiar. So, I mean, you know, spare a thought, I guess, for our comrades in other groups, you know, Aboriginal people for the last 225 years who were, again, brought into the culture wars by that former PM whose name I can't bear to utter. And so it's our turn. Hello. You know,
it is.
I think, you know, one way that you can fight it, I suppose, is, well, you know, of course, at least by voting yes. I want to say, though, that I think that there is a very strong chance that the result will be no. And you guys have probably considered that as well, because there are a lot of people. This is our mini Brexit.
Oh yes, it
is. This is, and it's not just about homophobia. It's ill-informed frustrations about broader conditions.
Yeah.
And so you know you find that this bigotry can you know reassert itself, and it works very effectively to stop people. You know, looking at any actual policy, and that includes members of the LGBTIQ community. I mean, there are so many hucksters within this community. Oh. There are so many people making money out of pride and not giving anything back to the community. There are so many people who, you know, I guess shadow the work of virtue signaling large corporations and make money out of us and give nothing back. I don't want to name names, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And then there are so many not-for-profit organisations that perpetually thank large corporations for their assistance. Now, large corporations are not our friends. They're not anybody's friends because they're in the business of profit. Profit is their only morality. So I would say, even though that this is so distressing, this is such a distressing time, and if you're listening and you've copped it, man, I'm genuinely sorry. I know how you feel. I myself have been, you know, hiding at home for years now. But this is your opportunity to reach out to other groups who have experienced just what we're experiencing and form a larger alliance.
Form an alliance. Festival of Questions, 15th of October, 7:30 to 9 p.m.
No, it starts in the morning.
Sorry, I was one of the events was there.
Oh, he's given me
information. It's all it's a whole day event.
It's all day.
It's all day event at the Melbourne Town Hall, and tickets are available from the Wheeler Centre website.
Helen Razor, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good luck with it. Not that I think you need it. I think you're on the money.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.